Imaragai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. This week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is speaking to us about the difference between religion and Christianity. It will help us see if we truly do have a deep-seated relationship with God, or are we just giving God and others lip service?
Today I want to talk about religion and the difference between religion and Christianity. And there's a big difference. A lot of people go to church and they go every week because it's expected, or it's like a little club and they just want to go and they want to be with their friends and things like that. But they don't really know God. They don't have an intimate relationship with God. And if you're a new believer, or if you're someone like me who was a bank robber and involved in prostitution and had a life on the mission and a life of sexual abuse and that, when you start looking for something and you're looking for God and you're looking for answers, if you come across religious people, it can be very off-putting. Because when you look at those religious people and you think, well, if that's what God's all about, then, gee, I don't want no part of that. And I want to tell you a story that when I was in prison, I really wanted to know about God. People kept sending me Bibles. People kept sending me CDs to listen to. Well, they weren't CDs. They were old cassette tapes. But I've always had a fascination with God. I've always wanted to know God, but I'd never really got around to doing it. When I was a kid, I used to do things, and my uncle used to say, God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. So it gave me a very poor impression of who God was. And I'm in prison, and this guy I meet in the prison yard, he was a Victorian. He was a Mexican. He was from south of the border. And he was a funny little man. He used to play AFL at the top level. And he was in jail for some silly thing. It wasn't serious, but he was only doing 12 months jail. And when you're in prison, you do a lot of walking and talking, and you're walking around the prison yard with this guy, and we're talking. And he was fascinated about me. And, you know, he said to me one day, he said, you know, my family are all Christians. My wife, he said, I got five daughters, and they're all Christians. He said, you know, he said, I'm just the black sheep. He said, I'm the only one that doesn't know God. And he started putting ideas in my head, you know, about God. And he was telling me all these wonderful things about God. And I'm thinking to myself, if you know so much about God and how wonderful he is, how come you missed it? You're in here with me. But you know what he said? He said, you know, if I repent and turn back to God, he will accept me as I am. And he said to me, he said, my daughter's coming up to visit. She's coming up in about 6 weeks. He said, I would like you to meet my daughter. Would you agree to have a visit with my daughter? I said, yeah, okay. But before that, see, I was the utmost sportsman in jail. I used to play rugby league. I used to play rugby union. And I used to go out of prison to do this. From Cessnock Prison, I used to go out and play rugby union. I used to go out to training two nights a week. I was a star player in the first grade side. I was very quick then. I probably get used to running away from the coppers all the time. I was very quick. But anyway, I was out playing cricket one day, and we played against a church team, a local church had a team in the cricket comp, and they beat us. Anyway, and this guy turned around and he said, I'm trying to get in the prison ministry. Would you like to come out on a day leave? And let me explain what a day leave is. If you're a prisoner and you've got a low minimum security clearance, once you get that clearance, you're eligible to go out once a month for day leaves, as long as a responsible family member or someone from the community come and takes you out. And this guy from this church, he said to me, he said, well, I want to take you out on a Sunday. He said, is that okay? He said, I'm the pastor of a church, he said, and I want you to come to our church. And he said, do you know anything about God? And I said, well, no, not a lot, mate, I don't. Anyway, Sunday morning come, I was dressed up. When you're going on day leave, it's best to be picked up between 8 and 8:30 because you got till 5 o'clock to come back to the jail. And this guy, 8 o'clock come, 8:30 come, no sign of him. And I was so disappointed because I was going to get out of jail and spend the day outside and apart from football and stuff like that. And what made it really difficult for me was because I broke my hand playing rugby union the day before and my hand was in a plaster cast. And I was feeling pretty dejected because, you know, the semi-finals weren't too far away and I was the star player. And I'd gone back to my cell and I said, well, God, if you really exist, how come this fella said he'd come and take me out for the day and he didn't even show up? And just as I was about to get undressed, I got called over the loudspeaker to go to the front gate. My daily person was there to take me. And he took me to church. He said, I'm sorry I'm late, he said, but I had to get things ready for church. And he took me to church and he said to me in the car, he said, now listen, he said, when we get to the church, he said, the people in my church would find it hard to accept you because you're black. And he said, and they would really find it hard to accept you being a prisoner. So I just asked you to do two things for me. You can't say you're not black because you are black. But he said, but don't tell them you're from the jail, that you're a prisoner. And then just tell them you're visiting. So we went into the Sunday school. And he was doing the Sunday school and he just went on and on and on at these Sunday school kids for their pocket money. He wanted their money left, right and centre for missions. And he badgered them. He said, you know, little Johnny, he said, you don't really need that ice cream today, you know, just give it the money and God can use it and learn to give. We got to learn to go without so God can do things with the money we give him. And I'm thinking, I've only got a few dollars. And I said, I'm hanging on to that. He ain't getting that. Because I was looking forward to being out because I wanted an ice cream and I wanted, to go to the shop and buy a chocolate, and have money in my hand, and so excited about being out. Anyway, so after the Sunday school, I'm sitting in the back of the church. He told me to sit up the back. And a woman comes and sits about two seats away from me. And when the offering was being taken up, he gave the same hard sell to the congregation as he did the little kids about putting money in the offering for, to be used for God's glory and all that. Anyway, this woman, she sat next to me and she pulled out a $20 note and she held it up in front of me so that I could see she was going to give God $20. And, and all I had on me was $10. That's all the money I had from the jail. And I wasn't giving it to God or anybody else. After the service, the minister said to me, he said, look, he said, you're going to come back to our place for lunch. So he gets back there, and there's a beautiful baked dinner. It was served up to me on a plate. And because I had a broken hand, I couldn't cut up the meat or the potatoes and that. And the wife seemed very agitated that he brought me home. They ate their dinner fairly quickly, and I hadn't touched mine because I couldn't pick it up. I couldn't cut it up, And then she said, oh, aren't you angry? And she took the plate away before I had a chance. Now, no one offered to cut it up for me. Then they brought out the dessert, and then after the dessert, I decided to go to the toilet. And out of habit, see, because in jail, the toilets don't have doors on them, especially out in the yard, so I didn't shut the toilet door properly. Anyway, she's in the hallway talking to her husband. She said, look, I got the ladies from the church coming around this afternoon. She said, no, I don't want that prisoner here or that, I don't want that man in my house when they come. So you get rid of him. You take him back to the jail or do something with him. Here I am wanting to find out what God is like. And you can only judge God by his people. And I'm thinking, well, this is not a very, doesn't want to make you want to run out and become a Christian. And so he said to me, let's go for a walk. Anyway, we started walking along together. And when he come to people in the church or people in the town that knew him and would sing out in their front yards and say hello to him, he'd sprint, he'd break into a gallop. If I had a greyhound as quick as him out of the box, man, you'd never lose a race. He'd take off and leave me for dead. And I'd have to run after him. It was a funny afternoon. He just kept running away from me. Anyway, we come to the shop and I said, can I go in and buy a chocolate and an ice cream? He said, yeah, mate. When I come out, he was gone. He'd left me there. And I thought, wow, what am I going to do? And I recognised the shop because it was close to the jail. I said, well, will I get into trouble if I come back to the jail without him? Because I don't know how to get back to his house. And so I decided to retrace the steps of the way we come. Anyway, I found his house. Anyway, he was inside with the ladies having a cup of tea. And I knocked on the door and I said, mate, I said, did you forget something? Did you leave me behind at the shop? Oh, he said, I know something. He said, I knew you'd find your way back here. Anyway, he said, look, I'm going to have to take you back to the jail. You know, and I thought I was going to be out from 8 till 5, and here I was. It was 2 o'clock, and I'm back at the jail. And I was so disillusioned about who God really was. I thought to myself, well, this is Christianity, who needs it? And I remember a Cat Stevens song, and it used to always go like this, and I don't want no God on my lawn, just a flower that I can help along. And for some unknown reason, that song just stuck in my head. And I've always thought, you know, if I'm ever going to become a Christian, I never want to be like that. Because that's not a true representation of who God is. God had other ideas, because when this woman came up from Melbourne to visit her dad, she sat and talked to me all day about how good God was. And she said, look, I'm coming back in about 6 weeks' time. Would you mind if I took you out on a day leave and we just had a nice day together? And so I made application to the authorities, because normally day leaves on a Saturday or a Sunday. But she was coming on a Thursday all the way from Melbourne. And I was going to let her visit with her dad on the Wednesday. And the authorities approved it for me to go out on a Thursday. And you know what? We went out and we went to a restaurant. We sat and ate. And she talked to me about God. And because I wanted to know things about God. And she just told me all about God's love. After spending a whole day with this girl, when I went back to the prison, I thought I'd actually spent the whole day with God. Because she just glowed God. The radiance of God just shined through that girl, and it was just, you know, there was nothing. Like nothing that you couldn't ask to her, nothing you couldn't talk to her about as far as God was concerned. She had an answer for everything. Compared to my other visit out on the dailies, the two dailies, when you compared the two, you couldn't compare. One was a religious day out, someone being religious. But being out with her was so different. I didn't become a Christian then, but I never forgot that day, and I never forgot that experience.
Anymore. Oh yeah, 'cause there's
what I've learned over the years was the difference between Christianity and religion is that Christianity always accepts you as you are. But if it's religion, there's always a catch. I remember working at a factory once in Sydney at Arnott's Biscuits. I was working with these guys from Fiji and they were Muslims. And I said to this guy, I said, what do you try to achieve by your religion? What's the main focus on that religion? He said, Tony, it's to get to a stage in life where you get perfect nothing. When we achieve that, we've achieved our goal. And I said, just don't eat meat. Your religion says you can't eat hamburgers, you can't eat this and all that stuff. And he said, that's right. I said, and you achieve perfect nothingness by not eating meat and all this sort of stuff. He said, yes. And I said, and that's your goal in life? He said, yes. And I said, if I can give you perfect nothing, will you come and have a Big Mac with me? And I held out my hand with nothing in it. He said, well, what's that? I said, there's nothing there. So I said, I win. Let's go and have a Big Mac. And you know what? He came with me and we had a Big Mac. And he realized for the first time in his life that he was missing out on something really great because of religion. You know, I remember years later on when I talked about that experience that I had with that pastor when I was in prison. And I remember saying to God one day, and I said, God, when I first came back, when I first got saved, and I said to God, I said, God, you know that church that I went to when I wasn't saved, when I was in prison, where they didn't accept me because I was black and they wouldn't accept me because I was a prisoner. I said, God, I said, you know, what's to do with a church like that? And God said, Tony, what are you complaining about? He said, I haven't been allowed into that church for the last 50 years. And he said, they only rejected you once. God is so good because he knows, you know, he's got a sense of humour. And God said to me, Tony, he said, you know, I accept you just as you are. I don't want to change you. I do want to change you, but I want to change you for the better. I want to take away the old garbage and replace it with good stuff. But see, religions put conditions on you. I remember once that a guy in Glen Innes, they had to kill their sheep and that kosher as part of their religion. He strapped three sheep, he bought them at the sale, and he put them in the back of his Kingswood and he strapped them in seatbelts in the back of his car, and they were sitting up like little people in the back of his car. And he was driving to Sydney so the family could kill these things kosher, and he got pulled up by the highway patrol. And the cop pulled him up and he thought he had, you know, his kids in the back, and he had three sheep sitting up in the back seat with seatbelts on. I mean, I cacked myself laughing when he told me, and he showed me the ticket he got, you know, he showed me the ticket he got for that. And I thought, wow, I mean, that's what religion does to you. He had the family coming up for a visit and he was sneaking a bit of bacon, which was totally against the religion. See, religion, you live in fear, because every time someone come to the doorbell and he was eating meat, he'd have to hide it. And the doorbell rang this morning and he had a hot frying pan full of bacon. And he lifted up the cushion on the couch and shoved the frying pan underneath there. And he went and answered to the door. And when it was a false alarm, it wasn't the family, come back in, the lounge was on fire. The lounge had caught fire. You know, and I said to this guy, why don't you just become a Christian? Why don't you just give this religion away? He said, I know the family's into it. I said, man, you've been caught with sheep. I mean, if you was a Kiwi, you know, and been caught with three sheep in the back seat of the car, I said, that'd be different. But, you know, I said, you know, you got caught, you got booked. He had to go to court and everything. But that's religion for you. If somebody's been presenting religion to you, then don't take no notice of it. Just turn to Jesus Christ. He's the answer.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. the corners of your mind, and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find. Reflections of the old past, they seem to face you every day. But this one thing I know for sure, that Jesus is the way. Let me hear you now. You think you cannot climb. I know that your skies have been dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, I'm here to tell you that the word of God is true. And everything that he's promised, I tell you, he will do it for you. Let me tell you,
Jesus is
Michael W. Smith singing Jesus is the Answer, also writer and singer of I'm Not Religious, Scott Wesley Brown. In today's episode, we learned that in religion there is and always will be a catch, as well as fear, whereas in Christianity there is always acceptance no matter what your circumstance, race or background. The Lord teaches us in John 15 verse 1 to 6, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Heidi. You've been listening to King's Kids. Always remember that you can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or if you are needing prayer, Tony would love to take your call on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Take care till next time.